episode 272.
Oh, yeah. Oh, big time. I mean, if you look at my numbers, you know, from the time that I started with coaching, you know, it's not immediate, not that same month, but within 3 or 4 months, you can see things just start getting better and better and better and better.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Welcome, automotive aftermarket professionals, to episode 272 of Remarkable Results Radio with service professional Marcus Marchegger from Capital Automotive in Carson City, Nevada. Carm Capriato here, delivering on my passion to inspire automotive aftermarket professionals to achieve their own remarkable results. And I thank you for your support of the aftermarket's premier educational podcast. This episode is presented by Federal Mogul Motor Parts. They are the reason you enjoy these great aftermarket interviews. When you need innovation and quality, you need Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Brands like Moog, Felpro, Wagner Brake, Anco, Champion, Seal Power, FP Diesel, and more. They're the parts techs trust. Find out more at fmmotorparts.com, and thank you for supporting these brands. Every podcast episode has their own show notes page. Find additional bio information and the episode talking points on Marcus Marchegger's show notes at remarkableresults.biz/E272. Hey, a big shout out to my new Facebook friends, Earl Davis, Joe Tranchitella, and Craig Tomzek, and my new LinkedIn connections, Jeremiah Alton and Brad Kidd. Welcome. And if you want to become more of a podcast insider, get connected. I've got one convenient place for you to go, remarkableresults.biz/social. Every possible connection is waiting there for you, including the insider email. Okay, ready to listen and learn just one thing? Meet Marcus Marchegger from Capital Automotive, Carson City, Nevada. How do you go from a mortgage broker to automotive? Well, you spend some time after college working in a shop in Napa Valley and getting the taste of the automotive. Marcus's commute was too long while he was in mortgages, so he became a stay-at-home dad. His wife was a bank executive, and she knew he needed to get back into the business on his own. She asked Marcus to humor her and look at a place that was for sale in the city. This place they found is Capital Automotive, and you'll hear the story of his startup, what he did right, and the challenges along the way. He shares a few regrets, but we all have them, don't we? Nothing perfect, but he works hard at that. He credits his business coaching company, Elite Worldwide, along with Frank Scandura and Jim Murphy. You can hear interviews with Bob Cooper, Frank Scandura, and Jim Murphy on a listening app near you. Yes, they all have their own podcast interview, and I'll list them in the show notes. Hey, this is a good story of startup that continues to grow. We talk telematics, the value of coaching, his new tech pay program, and why he is not in the tire business. He also talks about the power of his people in building customer relationships. Now let's listen and learn from Marcus Marchegger from Capital Automotive in Carson City, Nevada. A warm welcome to Marcus Marchegger from Capital Automotive in Carson City, Nevada. Welcome.
Hey, thank you. Welcome.
We're in the virtual studio. Wow. I love your story. I love your story,
you.
Marcus. It's one of those, you called it a fluke, that you ended up working in Napa Valley?
That's right. I was in the wine country, just working at an auto shop, just sweeping floors. Actually, I was just trying to change careers and do the right thing. I had just realized, you know, I didn't really like bartending anymore.
You were a bartender in college, and you said, let me see, bartending, sweeping floors in a shop.
Yeah. And I went from like kind of a glorious, you know, gee, here I was working at this great college bar. And then after a few years, I just realized it just wasn't the direction I wanted to go. I didn't really know what to do at the time.
Were you growing up?
Yeah, I was, gosh, I had been in the military. I was, you know, I just, I really, you know, that's kind of my life story. I'm kind of running all over the place. And then I finally settled down, of course. And that's the happy, you know, ongoing thing that's going on now, but for a long time I was all over the board, you know.
You were chasing baubles.
Yeah, exactly. I was just figuring out who Marcus was as we rolled along.
And, you know, oh cool.
I still have that you know, thing now where I just say, you know, the guys at the shop joke and they say, hey, you know, most of the time people measure twice and cut once. You know, I cut once and measure twice. You know, I mean, I cut twice and measure once, you know.
So you were living in Carson City and traveling to Napa?
No. I had met my wife in Davis, California.
Okay.
And that's where we met in college. And then we broke up. We were boyfriend and girlfriend at the time, broke up, went our separate ways. And then I thought, you know, I just don't really like bartending anymore. I was still working in town. And there was a guy in Napa who owned a shop, and it was a successful shop. He was doing well. He had three techs, and he needed, or actually had two techs at the time, and he needed somebody to help him, you know, keep the place going. So I went down there and just was like, he goes, hey, you should come to my shop and work with me. And I was like, okay. He was a friend of a friend. So,
okay. It was fate.
Yeah.
It was fate. Cause now you're a successful shop owner. Yet you said to yourself, this commute's killing me.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The commute was killing me after, you know, I started sweeping the floors there, but after 8-9 years, I was, you know, about 3 or 4 years into it, I was managing the place. And then, you know, that takes the longer hours. And the owner actually got married and he started getting his own life together, and he was not there as often. So I was, you know, really busy at that place.
So you were the man.
Yeah.
You were the man. And you finally said, hey, listen, what was the commute? How many miles were you driving?
Well, it started out as about a 40-minute commute. And then as the, you know, progress happened and life rolled on, the commute got to be about an hour and 10 minutes each way. And it was just too far. And I had, my wife had had our first child in 2000. And I just said, hey, you know, I'm going to work closer to home. So
what was your next move?
I went to closer to home and worked at a dealership, and you know, they kind of got me in there, but you know, what they had promised me for pay, cuz I said, "Hey, I'm going to go come in and do this, and if I'm going to be like this great salesperson for you guys at the front desk, you know, what's that going to equal to me?" And well, it didn't equal what they said it would, you know. And my wife had just gotten her master's degree, and she was working as a bank executive, and literally she had the opportunity to make about twice as much money as I did. So I actually turned into a stay-at-home dad for about a year and a half while I got my real estate license.
Real estate? When?
Yeah.
Not during the crunch.
No. I got it in 2001, I believe, is when I got my license, or maybe 2002 already, because I had been a stay-at-home dad. I worked on it, and I just thought that, you know, that sounded like a fun job. I'll be a mortgage guy. Once again, I had a kid, had a friend who was into it, and he was like, yeah, come down to this company I work for. You need to get your license. And I did, and it actually did work out really well for me. I had a really good time, and then eventually my wife quit when we had our second child, and she ended up taking care of the kids, and I was floating the boat there for quite some time. And then we all know what happened to the mortgage business.
We sure, you
know,
do. 2008.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in 2008, you know, the fund meter was at an all-time low. We had.
Oh, that is really funny.
Yeah, I was just like, instead of being the, hey, I can do this and I can do that. It was, you know, no, 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 no. And
so I love this line you told me. Mm-hmm. The wife says, humor me. Go look at this shop down the road. She knew you needed to do something.
Yeah. She said, hey, you know, did you see there's an auto shop for sale downtown? And I was like, you know, no way. You know, I was just bitter about the whole scene. I was like, gosh, that was, you know, I was upset that dealership didn't come through, and I was not really happy with my previous employer at the time. Now I look back and thankful. And she goes, just, you know, go down to that shop, just call the agent and talk to her and just do it. Just humor me. That's what she said. Just humor me.
All right, take me to the moment you walked on this property. You took a look at the place. What did you see?
I walk up to the place. There's it's the paint job's really dingy. It's a brick building, a cinder block building, and it is smack downtown. You know, it's in a great location, but it's really dilapidated. Weeds growing around, beat up cars all over the place, and we open it up and open the door, and the real estate agent says hello, And I just hear in the background somebody going, hey, you know, and then like a pit bull comes around the corner and like, you know, starts sniffing my crotch and it smells like cigar smoke in there. And I was just like, oh gosh, you know.
Would you call it a dive?
It was a dive. It was a dive. And then the guy walked out after a couple minutes and said, oh yeah, you guys want to come look at the place? Yeah, come take a look. And yeah, we walked around. All the lights were burned out. You know, half of the lights were, there was just piles of alternators and starters. You know, that's how they were separated just throughout the shop.
You saw some kind of incredible opportunity there, didn't you?
I did, yeah. You know, after I walked around a little bit and I thought, gosh, you know, if this guy's actually, you know, making money, even a little bit of money in a place like this, I was like, my gosh, what a great opportunity.
Wait a minute. You know? This was a going concern?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, the dog in the dog in the shop going concern. Oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and the location, I thought, yeah, I knew what was going to happen in the economy based on my experience in the mortgage business. I'm like, oh gosh, we got all these contractors out of business. We got, you know, people are really going to feel this heat, you know, and I thought, gee, it is right next to the Capitol building in the state. I bet you, you know, the state's not going to go out of business, I thought. And I bet you if I clean this place up, people will come in and get their cars fixed here, you know?
I believe you would agree that being a top tech is real hard work. Keeping up is a full-time gig, considering vehicle technology, repair procedures, and diagnostics. It's refreshing to know that Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Guru is there for you. It's been designed by and for technicians, the best in the industry. And did you know there's no other comprehensive program like this anywhere? A big part of the program is the nationwide network of Guru's on-site training and technology centers. There, you can get your hands dirty with the equipment and tools you use every day in real work-related situations. When online is your perfect way to learn, do it with Guru's 24/7 online academy with a huge catalog of training course options. And with the Guru's on-the-go technology fleet, they bring the latest products and demos right to your shop. And this year, you get free stuff from the Garage Rewards Loyalty Program. You earn points towards gear from your favorite Federal Mogul Motor Parts' brands. And what is really great, it costs nothing to join, and you'll start earning points immediately. So head on over to fmgarageGurus.com and learn all about Garage Guru's training, support, and get in on the rewards. Brake jobs are a staple component of all successful shops, and getting the brake job right helps build a quality reputation for any shop. When the best is called for and stopping distance, rotor wear, and pad life are important to every shop and its customers, Wagner OEX brake pads are your only choice. Based on benchmark testing conducted by Link Engineering Company, Wagner OEX pads can stop a pickup, SUV, or CUV up to 50 feet sooner. Based on internal testing comparing new Wagner OEX to other Wagner offerings, the unique design of Wagner OEX increases pad life up to 2 times longer. The customized shape and slot design of each of the more than 114 SKUs creates a turbulent airflow that allows for cooler operation and improved stopping power for the vehicle on which it was designed. Wagner OEX cover 95% of the U.S. market of pickups, SUVs, and CUVs. Wagner has the science behind stopping perfected. They conduct 13,000 critical tests each year, and as of today, have 258 issued patents with 68 patents pending. Wagner has earned their stripes. Now they want to earn yours. Install Wagner OEX, the customized brake pad that can stop your customer's truck up to 50 feet sooner. So your wife becomes your partner.
Yes. And we get the 50-50 deal going. We basically scrape up every last, you know, thing we had. It was a last ditch effort. You know, we're like, because with that, I was pretty strung out on that mortgage business, and we were, it was like, we're going to make this happen. You know, I said, hey, I came home and I was like, you know, I think I could make this happen. I got all excited. And then she was putting the brakes on going, well, let's do the math. And we started doing the math. We started figuring out what we thought the place was worth. And then we made an offer. And then it was probably took about 45 days. And all of a sudden, I was running that shop. And, wow. and uh, you know, cleaning up my last few mortgage deals through that office.
So did the guy accept your first offer?
No. He was really asking for a lot of money. And so we actually, in retrospect, knowing what I know now, we still overpaid for it a little bit. But, you know, I wanted it. That's the key. I think the key is I really wanted it. And, you know, we got it for less than half of what he was originally asking. You know, it was a big project. You know, it was a lot of weekends and a lot of late nights.
9 years now, right?
9 years, yep. 9 years in, at the end of December.
What would you do differently?
You know, I would probably have, you know, gotten a little more help consultation-wise earlier in the game. I think I would have asked for help sooner. You know, my experience was a service advisor. And yeah, I did have some management experience, but you know, I could get on the phone and talk to people, but as far as running a business, it's a big different game dealing with personnel. And I think that having somebody to bounce ideas off or best practices off would have been a huge help earlier in the
game. Okay, so you're with Elite Worldwide.
Yeah.
And how long have you been with Bob Cooper?
I've been with Bob Cooper since 2013. So
4 years minus nine, you were 5 years on your own, which helps me understand what you said. I should have gotten some help earlier.
Yeah.
You know, that's an important thing today because these kinds of stories are on the podcast all the time, Marcus. And, mm-hmm. and I'd love to have guys like you tell and woman tell that story because we're obviously trying to lift the aftermarket to new heights, you know, our beloved aftermarket. And the more people who don't have a business coach who may be in that struggle period will hear a podcast and says, well, if it's good for Marcus, maybe it's good for me. And mm-hmm. and I'm happy to hear that you branched out and did that and regret that decision at all.
Not at all. Oh my gosh. I was really, I was wanting to do it. And you know, my first business coach was, Frank Scandura, and, he helped me out tremendously. He's not Frank, if you're listening, buddy, hey, I know you're not much older than me, but hey, you were like a father figure to me. You know, he really helped.
Let me stop you for just one moment. I do want to hear more about Frank, but I've interviewed Frank. So anyone needs to just go to the website, type in Frank.
Yeah.
Even if you can't spell Scandura, just type in Frank space S and bam, Frank's episode will come up. And people can listen to Frank, your father figure.
Yes. Yeah, they should. You should find it and listen to it because he's got so many words of wisdom that, you know, it's overwhelming. All the information that you get immediately. And then you start to realize that, you know, you can only do so much and you just start one step at a time. You get really, I got really excited by all the things I heard and all the exercises they were putting me through. I would say I spent a year delaying about it because, you know, it's rather expensive. And so there was some thought to how much this would cost me, you know, and I thought, gee, is it worthwhile? And, you know, when I finally pulled the trigger, I regretted not doing it, you know, a couple of years ahead of time.
So today you probably look at it more as an investment, not a cost.
Oh, yeah. Oh, big time. I mean, if you look at my numbers, you know, from the time that I started with coaching, you know, you can... It's not immediate, not that same month, but within 3 or 4 months, you can see things just start getting better and better and better and better.
Was it people? Was it profit margins? Was it labor rates? Was it marketing? Or was it all of the above?
Yeah, it was all of the above, I'd say. But, you know, we worked at things step by step. My profit margin was better. I just felt better about, you know, my margins because I was running them past other people. And then, you know, my practices, I was paying my technicians hourly, you know, and I wanted to move them to a flat rate setup. That's what I really wanted to do. But being that I had no experience as a technician, you know, I was always on the other end of the deal. I really needed some help setting that up, you know, setting up that criteria so that I could make sure I was doing, you know, following the industry standard and being fair to, you know, my people. So getting that kind of feedback from an experienced person who, you know, when you talk to the coaches, and now I'm in the pro service thing, and I talk to a lot of other shop owners, you know, everybody, I mean, they are pent up about like wanting to give some great advice. You know, it's just, we all want to share, you know, our successes, and we don't really get to on a daily basis. We get to do it, you know. Yeah.
I recommend people go to the website and type in Jim Murphy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, because I've interviewed Jim Murphy, and yeah, I always hear great things about Jim Murphy. Hey, what is your passion for the business? I mean, what do you love to do?
Well, what I really love to help people. Believe it or not, I was in the service industry, you know, in high school, anywhere from flipping burgers and to bartending to that's just what I fell into, you know. And I feel like this is a big service. That was the other, you know, thing that drove me to start the shop too. I when we moved to Carson City, you know, we had to get our cars fixed, and I just really was not happy. And I was kind of saying, oh gosh, I'm a snob, you know, because I used to work at a shop. Clearly, I must be just a snob. But I was like, man, these people really suck. Like, I just felt like they just weren't good. They weren't given the service that they could give. And I felt like that was a gap. You know, there's a lot of opportunity here in this town for that.
So you have the ability to help people with their cars, their basic needs for transportation. Is that whole thing wrapped up in your culture?
Absolutely. You know, we see ourselves as advocates. You know, we're just advocates of people. We just figure out kind of what they want, and we just do it for them. You know, we of course, we have standards. You know, we're not going to, like, if people can't tell us to do a bad brake job or a bad, you know, like, just, you know, put a Band-Aid on this thing. But if they want their car, you know, our obligation is to tell them what's going on with their vehicle, and then, you know, just give them choices and let them know and be as transparent as possible and just earn their trust. And we're up front. You know, I just like the way it all works. I think that talking to people and really just getting to know my customers, I really like it. And I think that's what we've developed there. I think that's what's happening now. We're really good. My two service advisors are just great at, you know, getting to know folks and getting to know what's important to them.
Have they had special training?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've both gone through the Elite program. But even before that, they were still just good people, you know.
There it is. People. So were they from the industry? Did you find them from the outside?
They were from the industry. You know, one of them had spent quite a bit of time at CarMax, and the other one worked at Ford, and then he was working at Parts Place, and he was kind of semi-retired. I kind of pulled him out of semi-retirement. And
so you told me we do about 60% repair and 40% maintenance work. Now, is that 40% because of your people?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're working on getting that number up just through education of our customers. If we could get more maintenance work, we would inherently do less repairs, because if people were taking care of their vehicles, you know, we wouldn't have to do a lot of water pumps and radiators.
Do you credit that 40% maintenance with your digital vehicle inspection?
Oh, absolutely. That and just, you know, prior to that, we would show people, like, their, you know, before the digital inspections, we had sample trays. That was a big breakthrough for us, where we take fluid samples of the vehicles. Typically, we talk to the customers, and then they'd often decline the work, but then when they came in to pick up their car and we showed them the sample tray, they'd be like, oh my gosh, really? It was that bad? You know, and we're like, this is your fluid. And they would go, oh yeah, well, I want to set up an appointment to bring it back. The digital inspections just skip that stage. You know, we shoot them an email and they see basically everything we're seeing. And then they decide for themselves. I mean, people really want stuff straightened out.
So much talk lately about the improved ARO because of a good DVI program.
Oh, yeah.
Two questions. Who are you using for your DVI? And would you share with us if you've had an improvement?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I use Auto Vitals, and I've had tremendous luck with them. They've been great. I mean, it's a really deep program. It also really helped me track my labor, you know, which is really, you know, when you start going with the coaching system, they're always asking you to track your labor, track your labor. And I had tried in so many different ways to track labor, and it was so time consuming for me, you know, and so, you know, I'd get started on that. And then all of a sudden, 2 weeks into it, I'd just be like, I just can't keep up. I couldn't keep doing it. Once we got this system in place, you know, it's way easier for the techs to track their labor. And then in addition to that, you have the transparency to the customer and, you know, the shop communication improvement. You know, we're not running around the shop trying to find each other to communicate, which is huge. I mean, I'd say that alone is just one of the biggest breakthroughs we had. Once we got used to that system, the efficiency in the shop just went up a lot more, less stress.
From processes and systems, you know, it's a wow to have DVI today. And, you know, it's fairly new. You know, there's still the minority of the industry has it. The majority doesn't. So there's a big adoption rate, big opportunity there.
Yeah.
You're in it. You've got it. What do you see as the next frontier for technology in helping you run a better business?
You know, I would say it's probably, you know, something that you plug into the OBD2 port on a vehicle that that would communicate directly with the vehicle. I would say something like that. They have those out there.
You mean telematics type devices?
Yeah, telematics type devices.
Were the consumer, your customer, sharing the data with you, some of the data with you?
Mm-hmm. So then we would get to know, you know, exactly when that vehicle needs its next service. You know, that vehicle would send a signal and it would say, you know, it hit a certain amount of mileage or certain parameters were hit. And then all of a sudden they'd get an email that said, hey, you know, your vehicle needs a transmission service, or, you know, you got this code that came on. It's usually this.
Is anyone trying to sell you an aftermarket device that hooks to your shop?
No, not at this point. They are out there.
They are. And I see 20, 30 companies out there that have that. They seem to be promoting themselves to the consumer. Am I right? I mean, you know, plug it in and these really clever names keep coming out and coming out.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, where is the company that wants to work with you and give you the dashboard of the customer's data? Where is that company?
Yeah. You know, they're out there, and I don't have my notes in front of me, but they are definitely out there. They have come to some of these meetings, but, you know, there's too many options right now. I don't feel like it's really honed in. You know, there's a lot of debate about, you know, having the thing stuck in the OBD2 port. There's people who have fleet vehicles or already have something stuck in there, you know, and
yeah, there's an awful lot of discussion. I probably know the answer to my own question because I was really testing to find out. I know they're out there. I know there's a lot of them that can link the data to you. I believe it's a great tool to have a stronger, better relationship with your customer. But the reason that I asked is I'm really trying to find out how many of these companies have made a big push into the service professional. And you're a mover and a shaker, and you haven't found one walking in your door yet?
Okay. Oh, no.
All right.
Yeah.
So there's opportunity.
There is an opportunity there, I'd say. And I would say that the downside to it, and when I think about it, is that nobody's really quite gotten it figured out, or nobody has sold me on, like, saying, hey, man, I've got this plan in order and it's figured out, you know?
Got it.
Yeah.
Training. You do a lot of training for your people. What I find interesting is great leader-led program, doing a lot of online training, and of course you're doing lunch and learns. Where are you going to get your training content?
You know, right now we're using the NAPA system as a pro service or as a NAPA Auto Care Center. They have actually a good training program on that, on them for online. Their program there, I really like it, and it has a lot of self-guided training in there for the techs. So if we do get slow, which fortunately we haven't gotten slow like in the last year and a half. All I right. mean, I've had that we did. We used to do a lot more training because, hey, we'd have an afternoon or something where, you know, all of a sudden somebody didn't show up for an appointment and it would get a little slow. And then I'd say, hey, tech, go ahead. Instead of just, you know, hanging out, get on that and, you know, get paid. And they were doing a lot more training then. You know, the biggest, the most effective part of our training now is more of our shop meetings, you know, where I'm finding that getting everybody, we've grown so fast in the last few years. We've grown so fast. Like, what I think everybody understands about us and our business, you know, they really, it's amazing. You know, when I ask some questions, what's, you know, some of the answers I get. And
give me an example.
I asked one of my techs, I go, why is it that one of my apprentice guys, I said, hey, you know, why do you think I want to have the have you write down the torque spec that you use to tighten up the wheels on this vehicle? Like, why do you think that I do that? And he goes, you know, I don't know. I just, you know, that you just want me to write something down, you know?
Oh, so you are driving the why here.
Yeah, I need to. And then I thought, oh gosh, you know, what a great opportunity here for me to sell to my technician, my new technician here, why we do this. Like, why do we do this? Why do I have you write it down? Well, you know, there's a couple reasons. We write it down because, you know, we get a lot of vehicles. This was a perfect case where a vehicle had, or the vehicle next to him had come in and we had done brakes on it. Now the brakes, there was a vibration on the brakes. And a lot of times that happens because customers take their vehicles to a tire store to get their free rotation. And those guys just have their, they just over tighten those wheels so tight that it just causes those rotors to warp. So I always want our spec to be written down just to show that we actually looked at it and we actually did it to what the factory said. And our tire rotations, we charge for them. You know, we don't have a free tire rotation setup, and we actually charge, you know, a few bucks more than you know, the average tire store does. And that's why, you know, we're doing a better job of it. And that's why we get a little bit more for it, because we're actually documenting that. We're documenting your tire pressures. And after I had that conversation with my newer tech, I just thought, oh, I might as well ask one of my seasoned techs. And I said, hey, Tony, why is it that we write down the why do I have you guys write down the torque spec? And I thought for sure he'd just be able to rattle that one off, but you know, he couldn't. He couldn't answer that question. So I thought, oh gosh, here's my opportunity.
Coaching moment.
To start telling these guys why we do what we do. I mean, they must just think, you know, on some of these things, like, you know, I'm just a Gestapo commander here that's wanting them to do.
So is why a big centerpiece for you as far as, you know, leadership qualities?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I think, I did some soul searching here too, as far as getting to understand why I wanted to get into this business. I mean, when I first got into it, I was thinking, oh, what a great opportunity! How neat! I'll have my own shop, you know, and you know, I'll clean this place up and I'll make this thing sparkle and it'll be great. But as the years rolled on, I did start to go like, why do I want to do this? What's driving me to do this? And I thought the opportunity is actually, you know, like I said, I was in the service industry and that's just what I enjoyed. That's just what I fell into and that's what I got into. And I'm all, this is what that is. It's like, why not be of service to people, and why not just give that up and just serve folks? That's what you like to do. So come in and take care of them. And there's always a need for that. I don't think in every industry, yep. You know, if you yep. start taking care of people, they'll want to talk to you. They'll want to do business. So
do you find that your customers looking for insights into their repairs?
Some of them do. Some of them are really interested in the why, you know, and in the, a lot of them, they just, I'd say, gosh, if I could put a percentage on it, I'd say like, you know, 40% of the people want to just, how I would say more than that, like 60% of the people, they just want to get a good feeling from you. They just want to know that you're looking out for them. And if they get that feeling, they don't really care what you're saying about, you know, the benefits of whatever it is you're telling them the car needs.
Okay. Trust relationship is there, and that trust is the overbearing umbrella. They don't necessarily have to know the why.
They may not know. They just, yeah, they got that overwhelming umbrella. Then if they, the other folks, you know, they will want to know the why. And you know, that has to do with
developing the relationship. Yeah. And
developing the relationship and telling people what that means to them. Like when we're discussing repairs, what does it not mean to the car? What does it mean to you?
I'm a curious person. I love to know why. But if I was, if I got my car repaired today and you gave me the why, you know, the how and the why, and I was hanging out with my friends Friday night for dinner, hey, what went on this week? Well, I had to have my car in, and they told the insights that they learned about the repair and the reason and maintenance and safety and performance. You just gave them a whole, you know, speech.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're just, you know, and here it is. Your shop is the highlight of the food conversation because
exactly.
Because you help them really feel right, maybe even good about the transaction and
absolutely.
The safetiness of the car.
Well, I think that the other great opportunity here too is that when you think about people's cars, you know, like how passionate are you about your vehicle? You are very passionate about your vehicle. And I mean, people really, they want to talk about it. They want to, when they get some, when they get their vehicle taken care of, you may not think you're that passionate about your vehicle, but I tell you what, people really are. It's amazing, you know.
Big investment. They even give them names.
Yeah.
Even if they've owned the car for 3 years, they still feel bad behind the wheel.
Yeah, right. Right.
They buy a new car scent air freshener to feel new again.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, people really, they get into it. So that's the other great opportunity there when you're talking to people about their vehicles and you can.
I love what you said about your growth. We just continue to grow. Where is it coming from? Is it the marketing efforts? Is it retention, word of mouth? What's going on there?
I would say that it's word of mouth. Marketing, of course, helps. I mean, people have to know that you're there and what you do. And, you know, our marketing, we're a smaller shop. We don't sell tires there. So I had a lot of experience in the mortgage business doing outside sales. I went and I started to think about it, and I'm all, gee, what did I do in the mortgage biz when I needed to, you know, get more folks to come in the door, you know, and talk to me? So I started to go around to the places that just specialize in tires, and I would just go out there and shake hands with them and, you know, bring them some sandwiches. And I just did that on a really consistent basis. And pretty soon, you know, they were driving, you know, anything they couldn't do to my shop, because we were a great general repair shop. And, you know, guys would go, and I was doing it too, to the Jiffy Lubes. I mean, the just when you needed an expert, they would, they'd come to me.
Why though that I hear a lot of shops are saying, hey, we got to get back into the tire business. We let that go. Would you ever get back in it?
I was never in it, and my coaches are telling me, hey, you should get in the tire business. You're missing out. But just because of the limits of my facility, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it.
Okay.
And it's not on the top of my list. You know, at this point, I'd probably be more likely to develop a relationship with the tires only place and have them do my tires for me. But it's just not in the mix right now.
Four bays?
I have five. Started out with four, and then I took over a little chunk of the building, you know, a few years into it.
What is your take, Marcus, on specialization? Some guys I've interviewed have a shop, and they says, I may put up another branch, and it may just be Euro, or it may just be Asian, and you're doing general repair. Do you think specialization is an important strategy in our industry?
I think so. And I think so from a technical perspective. So my fear in not doing that is that Carson City is a relatively small town. You know, we have 55,000 people here. I don't want to turn anybody away. I'm thinking, I've really considered, you know, going down the Euro route, you know, but, I would rather like have just a few models. It's a little easier for the techs. You know, we're doing the same thing over and over again.
Your demographics almost tell you that you must be in general repair. If not, you're going to limit 55,000 people, a couple of cars each. That's a smaller pool.
It is. It's a smaller pool. And you know what? We have like a really diverse background on all my techs. You know, they're all, I got three master techs and they have backgrounds in all different things. And we pretty much have it all covered. And with the amount of information that's out too, it's, you know, you got everything from, you know, Identifix to how to videos. There's all kinds of stuff out there to solve problems.
Congrats on being a Blue Seal, ASE Blue Seal certified shop. And are you doing any hybrid repairs?
Yes, we do. It's just not that common here, you know, because of our elevation and climate. Like, there are not that many hybrid vehicles out here, you know. There's just not
a lot.
You
get a lot of snow out there in Carson City?
You know, we get some. We're right at the base of the mountains, and Lake Tahoe area gets a huge amount of snow. Carson City, you know, it's pretty popular to have an all-wheel drive vehicle down here. You know, I'd say a lot of people have them, just because we do get some snow, and depending on the year, you know, the roads could be icy for you know, weeks at a time. Mm-hmm. You know, so
Marcus, the last piece of equipment you bought?
Well, I'd say the last big piece I bought was an alignment rack. You know, that was a huge, huge investment for me. And
how long ago?
That was 2.5 years ago. So I got it like in two pieces. I needed a heavy duty lift. I got that first about 4 years ago. And then about 2.5 years ago, I spent the money on the alignment rack because it was really tough going around and subletting my alignments. It was just so time consuming. And of course, we weren't happy with it.
And you're not a tire shop. Interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, we do quite a few alignments just because a lot of jobs require it. Mm-hmm. You know, you do control arm, so.
All right. Got it. Hey, do you offer your techs any kind of bonus incentives at all? I mean, how are they earning in your shop?
You know, so that's something that I just recently changed. I just moved to a tiered flat rate system. You know, I was up till just a couple weeks ago, just straight up flat rate. And now I've got it tiered to where, you know, if they hit a certain amount of hours, you know, if they get between 40 and 46 hours, they get there's a kicker there. You know, they get a little bit more per hour for that whole week. And then if they get more than 46, they get even more. And what I started to notice, you know, when I was looking at my numbers in the past, is that my production numbers were just not that good. You know, we were really efficient. When the guys actually got clocked onto the job, they would actually do that particular job, you know, with a tremendous amount of efficiency. But it was the time in between the jobs, like that fire underneath you, like, oh man, I want my next project, my next project, my next project. Like that gap was, we were really missing out on that. And so I had run it past the group and been something I've been discussing for months. Like what steps do I need to take to make that change? You know, like what's happening? And, you know, the amount of insight that I got from the pro service group was just amazing. These guys have some brilliant ideas. We also have another program that I'm starting that I just want to see, you know, some changed behaviors inside the shop, like some more pictures being taken in the inspections. You know, the guys kind of feel that's a little cumbersome when I ask for a lot of pictures, you know. the number of emails that we send out to the customers with these reports, sometimes that drops down. Some of our documentation things. So I've created like a matrix of how I'm kind of going through and grading the repair orders and the,
And is that part of the incentive?
That's a little bit of a separate incentive, actually. That incentive is actually goes to their favorite charity. So at the end of the month, I have a point system, and each person has revealed to me their top two charities that mm-hmm. they like, and I donate to their charities on their behalf. So I have like the monetary incentive, and then I have the, hey, I just want to feel good incentive that's a little bit more about, you know, changing some behaviors, you know, like just kind of tweaking things. You know, Jim Murphy's always telling us to try to make things into a game. And I didn't want to also have so much of a monetary incentive that that everything was about money, because it's really not. It's really not. It's about feeling good too. It's about feeling good about what you do. You know, one of the things that we that's always happening is, gosh, how do we change behavior? You know, like it's so even, you know, personally, it's hard to do. You know, you get in the habit of doing something, and you want to, you see, even though it's clear to you, it's better to do things a certain way. You know, they just getting you to change behavior and get into that pattern. I'm trying to think of creative ways to do that.
Excellent. Learned a lot. Thanks so much for sharing all that you have. What do you do to recharge?
I mountain bike and I snowboard. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that... Because of our growth, I haven't really been able to do that until very recently. I really put that back on my schedule, and I'm really feeling, in fact, when we get done today, I'm going to go pedal for an hour. I'm going to go out and pedal my bike for an hour. I'm looking really forward to that. Both home and work are right next to some, you know, first class mountain bike trails. So, I can just jump on my mountain bike and then, pedal for 45 minutes to an hour. And, you know, I got to tell you, it's
good for the cardio, good for the strength training,
yeah.
Good for the muscle, the brain muscle, right?
The brain muscle is the one that really needed the most work, you know, just getting myself into the happy place again, you know? You got to get happy, you know? It's like, gee, here we are again. It's 8 a.m. or 7:30. Let's get started.
What advice, Marcus, would you give to yourself from 20 years ago?
My advice to myself 20 years ago would be to enjoy the ride, to just
smell the roses on the way through, huh?
Yeah, smell the roses on the way through. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're not doing something that's inspiring you, find out why and make it inspiring. You know, like you can inspire yourself. You just, there's reasons why you're where you're at. Just enjoy what you're doing. Don't go to work upset. Don't come home upset. Just enjoy it. You got to make that happen.
I so enjoyed this. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
It was very enlightening. Marcus Marchegger from Capital Automotive in Carson City, Nevada, who's in partners with his wife, Lisa, and she should have been here.
Yeah, you know what? She is she's my silent consultant. Oh. So when I got a real problem, she's there.
I hear you.
Yeah, she's very logistic. She helps me with all my spreadsheets.
Well, she's a banker. She should be doing that.
She's
right?
A banker, exactly. Oh yeah, she had that background. She's very analytical. So I do appreciate her feedback. It's just that when we started out, she was the boss and I was the boss, and you know her idea of how things should have went and my idea of how things should have went were often not on the same path.
So you each discovered your role and you're sticking to it.
That's exactly right. And God bless her, because she's such a huge help to me on the sidelines. Just really, really big, always questioning and always just brilliant, brilliant with her work and assistance with me.
Thanks for sharing your wisdom, Marcus.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thanks for having me. That was a lot of fun.
Hey, thanks, Marcus Marchegger, for sharing your story of remarkable results so far. Continued success. Hey, see the show notes at remarkableresults.biz/E272. Now, there find the talking points, the shop profile, and a link to Marcus's website. I've also included links to Bob Cooper, Frank Scandura, and Jim Murphy's podcasts that are part of our discussion. Hey, thanks for listening. I hope you continue to find a treasure trove of inspiration and insights for your own business and yourself as a leader. And please don't forget that you now have the Town Hall Academy Forum as a personal resource for your edification. Every Academy webcast is repurposed as a podcast. Great subjects there to engage you. Find them all at remarkableresults.biz/academy. Hey, and don't forget to use the search feature in the Tag Cloud on the website to define your area of listening interest. And please share this content-rich resource with your friend. I'm so grateful and thankful for your support.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.